Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 86. Psalm chapter 86. This evening we'll read verses 10 through verse 13 responsively. I'll read verse number 10. You'll join me on verse number 11 all the way through verse number 13. Psalm chapter 86, beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for what's taken place here today. Lord, it's been wonderful to be in your house. Lord, it's been encouraging, Lord, to know that you are God, Lord, that you're always there for us. Lord, we ask, though, that tonight you'd be with us again. Lord, we ask that tonight not just be another Sunday evening here at this church, Lord, but it would be something special. Lord, that our hearts would be in tune to your Holy Spirit's power, Lord, as the word is preached. Lord, would you work amongst us? Lord, would you please reveal the truth to us that you have prepared for us tonight? Work in our hearts, Lord. We'll give you the glory and the honor for everything that takes place here tonight. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
And you may be seated. If you missed this morning's sermon, I challenge you to get it when it goes online this week. I preached a sermon this morning called "You Don't Have to Hit the Bottom." I talked about the everlasting arms of God underneath us. And boy, what a truth. It'll be very helpful to you. But tonight, again, I want to help you. I don't believe this will be a correctional sermon. I believe more instructional, but if it requires correction, correct it. Amen? Here in verse number 12 is our text verse. The Bible says, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore." I want to talk to you tonight about all your heart. The heart in the Bible almost always has the dealings with being the center of our emotions. When God talks about our heart, he's talking about our feelings. Oh, there are a few times it's talking about the actual organ in your body pumping blood throughout, but the heart is known as the seat of emotion. It is the, you say, "Well, I love you with all my heart," all right? Aren't you glad it wasn't "I love you with all my liver"? Or "you make me quiver," or "love you with my gizzard," or something like that, you know? God says that the heart is that center of emotions. Now, listen to this statement very carefully. Emotions are not bad, but we're to be in control of our emotions. We are not to let emotions control us. Emotions are not bad, but we are to be in control of them. They are not to control us. Let me use this illustration. Emotions are like spices in cooking. They're there to enhance flavor. They're not there to take over the flavor. Did you ever go somewhere and somebody put the wrong amount of something in? It's called for a teaspoon of salt, and they put 4 tablespoons of salt in. It's like, you know, it's like you ate the Sahara Desert or something, you know, or whatever it may be. You put the wrong amount of a spice in, and all of a sudden, whatever it was supposed to taste like doesn't taste like that anymore. That's exactly what emotions are to life. Emotions are to enhance it, to give it flavoring, but our emotions are not to control it and overpower it. Now, there are 6 times in the Bible that God tells us to do something with all our heart. And I want to go through those 6 things tonight. It may surprise you what those 6 things are. It may not be what you think it is, and I want to help you tonight. First of all, the Bible tells us we're supposed to trust the Lord with all our heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I'm going to make a statement here. It is a very biblical statement. You do not get saved by trusting Jesus with all your heart. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that. Everybody doing okay? Your emotions aren't involved with it. It's an act of obedience. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It doesn't say with all thine heart. See, you say, well, how much did somebody mean it? Oh, you're trying to play God now. I got saved when I was a 4.5-year-old child. How much did I mean it? Now, I still remember it. That was 49 years ago. I remember getting saved. I can't tell you the date on the calendar, but I can tell you where I was, what it was, and when it was, and how it happened. You may not be able to give me the exact date on the calendar, but you got to be able to tell me what you did to get saved. You got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Realize you're a sinner. There's a penalty on sin, that Jesus paid that price, and if you'll trust him and what he did for you, and that alone to take you to heaven, according to the Bible, you're born again. Amen. What did you do to get born? You didn't do anything. Guess what? You don't get born again by doing anything either. Jesus said you must be born again. So it can't be based on how much you mean something. It can't be based on how much your life changed. Guess what? My life didn't change a whole lot. My eternity did, but my life didn't. When you get saved that early in life, you know, I wasn't a 27-year-old commode-hugging drunk like Brother Mike. As he would term it. That's his terminology, not mine. But can I tell you something? Just because he had a big change in his life and I didn't have a change, does that mean I'm not saved and he is? Huh. There is no barometer in Scripture on how much you have to believe to get saved. If you're willing to say, I'm a sinner on my way to hell and Jesus paid that price, I'll accept that. Guess what? That's enough faith to get saved. God's given to every man the measure of faith. You don't have to lay on the floor and flip and flop and say all the motorcycle names backwards. You don't have to get baptized and join the church and live a certain life. And if you don't live it, well, we wonder if you ever really got it. Who made you God? Quit being, well, I can't judge your salvation, but I can be a fruit inspector. Be careful how you say that these days. Man, you know what? The fruit of the Spirit is just that, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of man. It's not a matter of how the fruit of the Spirit's working through somebody's life that you're judging. You're trying to play God. Well, I didn't see any evidence of their salvation. Guess what? You don't have to. As long as God did, that's all that matters. God says we're supposed to trust him after we've been saved. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. This word trust is the word depend on. It means doing it his way, not your way. Boy, that one hurts, doesn't it? Can I tell you the joy of the Christian life when you quit trying to do it in your own power and do it the way he wants? Amen. The Christian life really isn't that hard. It's just you giving up your life to do it the way he said do it. Well, preacher, as I see it, that's the problem. You got bad eyes. They're sinful. Your vision's not as good as his is. He sees the end from the beginning. You can't even find the beginning. You see, God's vision is a whole lot better. He knows what's better for us, and sometimes what we want isn't good for us. So we are to trust what he says. Guess what? I'll trust what God says. Don't give a rip what man says. Amen. I don't give a rip what the government says if it goes against what God says. Right. Obey God, not the government. That's right. By the way, you're going to find it. Churches are becoming targets. Christianity is becoming a target. Soon I'll preach on it. This is all a matter of Muslims, Antifa. It's not about George Floyd in Minneapolis.
That's right. Right.
This is way beyond it.
Right.
You can trust God with your emotions. Make a statement here. Trust God with all thine heart, all your emotions. Did you know you can trust God with your emotions? He won't hurt them. You see, he has the Holy Spirit living inside of you to help you with your emotions. Hebrews 13:5 is still in the Bible, folks. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's an interesting statement in the Greek. It's a quadruple negative. In English grammar, if you use a double negative, it's considered bad language. I ain't got no. Okay, that's a double negative. All right, that's not good grammar. But in the Greek, Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee. You say, that sounds kind of crazy. In the Greek language, the number of negatives used there is used for emphasis. Shows priority and importance. And God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
In other words, pardon my grammar, ain't going to happen. You see, you're his child. Why would he harm your emotions? I love my children. I don't want to harm their emotions. I'm very cautious not to hurt people's emotions. Unless they're liberals. Now, wait a minute. God's not going to hurt your emotions. Now, you say, well, I remember something and God hurt me, preacher. God's not going to hurt your emotions unless you're telling God how God has to treat you. Quit playing God the God.
Amen.
Just because your emotions hurt and you feel God forsook you, who made you God to judge that? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Just because it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out doesn't mean God hates you and he hurt you on purpose. Everybody doing okay? God didn't sin, you did. God made your emotions. If he made them, guess what? You can trust him with them. He gave you emotions just like he has. We were created in the image of God. God has the same emotions we have. First of all, his aren't controlled by sin. Second of all, he doesn't let them control him. He controls his emotions. God is slow to anger. It didn't say God doesn't get ticked off. You say, how do you know that? Just wait till the second half of the tribulation when we're in heaven and watch what he does. Have you ever heard of a place called hell? God can get pretty upset. Have you heard of a place called Sodom and Gomorrah? All you rainbow flag people in Shepherdstown listening by way of internet? You see one of those flags, guess what that means? Don't go there.
Amen.
Really? Yep, that's what those are. Just like they've perverted other things. By the way, that's a perversion of Scripture. God sent the rainbow as a way of God not destroying the land by flood. Well, he didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah by flood, but he sure sent down a bunch of fire. So, God made your emotions, you can trust him with them. So, first thing that we're supposed to do with all our heart is trust God with our emotions. Second thing, and I must hurry, the Bible says here in Psalm 86, where our text verse is, verse number 12, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. Did you know you're supposed to praise God with all your heart? Now, not everybody praises God the same way. There are people in this room that if you shouted, the whole world would have a heart attack. I get that. If anybody ever heard my wife shout and raise her voice, the world's coming to an end. Trust me. I get that. I watched that woman lead 25 or 30 third graders in a gymnasium full of kids, and she could say, just this loud, in a gymnasium, with 60 other kids in the gymnasium, third grade, let's go. And every one of those little cotton pickers fall in line. I'm thinking, I didn't even hear it. I'm standing next to her. How in the world? She raised him without raising her voice. You try that once. It's not the easiest thing in the world. She's reared me for 31 years without raising her voice. That's a world record right there. Yeah, buddy. God says we are supposed to praise him with all our heart. The word praise there means thank him for what he's done. Can I tell you something, folks? There comes a point in time you ought to praise God with your emotions. You ought to get happy. You ought to get excited about what God's doing. Yes. If God does something, have a spell.
Amen.
Now, I'm not afraid to shout. Amen. I shout in public. I'll shout in private. I'll shout from the mountaintop. I'll shout from the valley. I'll shout while I'm out shooting a deer. Bang! Glory to God! Thank you, Jesus. That deer hanging in my office. I watched that deer for 10 minutes before I ever shot it. Let's try to get that thing, get a little closer. It's 287 yards. And man, my heart had been going. I texted my wife, got a big buck in the field. You know, I'm glued to that thing. That thing finally decided it was going to turn and walk away a little farther. And I said, it's all over. I said, dear Jesus, help me, amen. Boom, and it hit the ground. And I stood up in my stand and said, thank you, Jesus. And then got down and walked 300 yards to it. Now, wait a minute. I did that out in the middle of the woods. Say, why? Because I believe in praising God for the opportunity. And it tasted good, too.
Yeah.
Glory. Some of you ladies. It was not deer meat. I promise. All right? I promise. But you ought to get emotional sometimes with God. I'm not saying, by the way, I don't believe that our emotions ought to control us in our spirituality. Your emotions are not a barometer of your spirituality. But I believe that we ought to use some emotion in our praise to God. Getting up and dancing and bouncing around on the platform and swaying and having a praise and worship team is not scriptural. Everybody doing okay? Well, didn't you just feel the Spirit? Nowhere in the Bible does it say feel the Spirit. If you start feeling spirits, do me a favor, leave. I don't want nobody having ghosts in here, amen? Casper, get out, amen? Now, wait a minute. You don't feel the Spirit. You can sense him. You can praise God with your emotions. Good night, y'all. We're singing the old Rugged Cross a little while ago, and I leaned over to Brother Josh and said, sing that thing again a cappella. Say, why? Because I was enjoying that. I think God was enjoying that. Good night. We go to too many churches and follow the bouncy ball, and nobody knows what the old songs are. Sing the same three words over and over and over and over and over. I shall praise him. I shall praise him. They're not smart enough to know any more words than I shall praise him. Help us, Jesus. Get here about 5:30 some morning and hear me out here shouting and praising God for what he's done. I enjoy it. You ought to use some emotions. Fellas, it's not wrong for you to say amen in church. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. There's some people, you cry to show your emotions. Well, cry with God.
Yeah.
I do it often. God says the goodness of God leads you to repentance.
Right.
You ought to thank him for how good he is. Maybe you ought to change your life. He'll be even better. Learn to shout when the blessings come.
Yes.
Man, when blessings come, shout.
Amen.
Man, brother Drilliard up in Maine, they're working on their building. They had a general contractor. He said, son, he said, I don't know how you've gotten this far with this building, but from here on out, I'm going to general contract this thing for your church for free. He called me. He said, preacher, you got a second? I said, yeah. He said, I got to tell you something. He told me. I said, hang on. I was on speakerphone. I put the phone down on my desk and I clapped my hands. I said, well, glory to God. I heard on the phone across the, from my on the phone, glory to God. I said, son, I said, Brother Drawyard, I'm so happy for you. He said, a couple hours later, he called me. He said, preacher, he said, the sprinkler people are starting 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I said, good. He said, as soon as that's done, man, we can take this thing and run. He said, I'm stuck till they get done. About 2 weeks, he'll be flying high. They've got all the general contractors already got people lined up, due dates and everything. I mean, man, he just jumped in and took over. They're going to get that thing done soon. But guess what? Just because you're emotional doesn't make you spiritual.
That's right.
And this is not racial. If you think it is, you got holes in your head. But we went to a funeral down when we were in South Carolina in Black Church. A lady in our church lost her mama. She's down on the front row, and they had the deaconesses down there with the white outfits on and the white gloves and everything. And Miss Mabel wasn't crying, and they walked over and they're smacking her in the face. Come on, Mabel, cry. Come on, feel the spirit, feel the spirit, feel the spirit. My wife's going, you know, she had never been anywhere like that. A Swedish white woman in a black church, okay? You talk about foreign. I'm having the time, man. I'm good with it. You know, and the guy that always plays the organ is usually about 600 pounds, and he sits back like this going, and I'm dying. So after about the third time that lady smacks her on the face, I leaned over and said, Miss Mabel, just cry and get it over with. It'll hurt less. She turned around and started laughing. I said, don't laugh, all right? Don't laugh. Learn to shout. I learned to shout. My mom and dad will recognize this name. Probably nobody else in this room will. There was a man that came through named Carlos Demarest. Worked with Bearing Precious Seed. Carlos Demers could shout like nobody I ever. I think he was Baptist, if not close. But 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd be driving that big old bus. We'd be going to Mexico or something. He'd say, "Well, glory, time to preach." He said, "Brother Rick, get up here." And we're going down the highway in a big travel bus, 70 miles an hour. He'd stand up from the wheel. Guy would jump down behind him, and he'd walk away. He'd wake everybody up, time to preach. God gave me a sermon. Here we go. 2 o'clock in the morning. One of my favorite statements he'd ever make is, bless God and shame on the devil. Man, I've used that so much, it's not even funny. Learn to praise God. Learn to praise God with your emotions. Number three, we need to serve him with all our heart. Look at Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22, verse number 5, the Bible says this, but take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Can I tell you something? We are supposed to serve him with all our heart. I stood at a door yesterday of a lady that I believe will come to our church and her family. She said, you're different. I said, I've been called a whole lot worse than that. She said, no. She said, it seems real to you. I said, no, ma'am, it doesn't seem real. It is real to me. I said, you'll get better sermons. You may get more charisma, but I promise you, you won't get more sincerity than Grace Baptist Church. You're looking at one man that's doing everything he can, giving everything he's had his entire life for the last 40 years with all his heart. As a teenager at 13 years old, I started preaching and I've decided I'd give God everything I could give him. I may not be amongst the greats, but I promise you one thing, I'm not giving up. Let me ask you a question. If you were serving a meal to someone you really loved or respected, how would you act? If you were to serve the President of the United States a dinner tomorrow evening, how would you act? Then how come you act less than that for God? I'm not picking on anybody, but would you be an hour late? Would you get there and not have everything you're supposed to have? Would you just show up in, you know, your old work clothes? The preacher, no way. Then how come we don't give, why don't we serve God with all our heart? Serve him with our emotion. God wants us to serve him. By the way, it's for our sake, not for his sake. God does not want to be served for his sake. Good night. He has a host of angels to do whatever he asks. He wants us serving him because he knows what's best for us. Us serving God is good for us. It's not a matter of being good for him. Did you ever think of that? God's not a slave master like these idiots want you to think. Well, I'm his slave. No, you're his servant. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friend. God wants us to use our emotions as we serve, not just do it out of duty. If I go home from work and my wife is standing there and I say, man, am I glad to be home. She said, good. Can I get a kiss? Is that what you want? Kind of. All right. Are we going to have dinner? Don't I always have dinner? She's doing everything she's supposed to do, but there's not a lot of good emotion with it. Some of you, that's the way you serve God. I'll do it because I have to do it. I've got to be there. How about we get to do it? Man, I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to serve God. I get to serve God. Man, I'm spoiled rotten. I'll text my preacher friends and say, can you believe we get paid to do this? Man, this is, I'm having the time of my life. I cannot believe you can actually survive doing what I do, and I enjoy doing it. Brother Josh and I, yesterday, I leaned over to him and I said, man, pinch me. I said, don't do it. I said, but can you believe we actually get to do this? And then he cut his finger off almost. That was not the extra blood in the steaks either. All right. He did it in a good time where he didn't get all over anything. But wait a minute. I can't believe I got to cook for a bunch of ladies yesterday that I love in our church so that they could have a nice day. I said, preacher, it was hot out there. Yeah, it was hot. And then I went home and mowed grass. But guess what? I got to do it. It wasn't something I had to do. I got to do it. I enjoy doing that. Boy, that's good stuff. God wants us to use our emotions. We're to obey whether we use our emotions or not, but as you mature, you ought to use your emotions. We don't wait for emotions before we obey. You obey, and the emotions will follow. I didn't wait for emotions when I was a child to motivate me to take the trash out. Emotions came if I didn't take it out. I'll promise you, but it weren't the good emotions. I didn't take the trash out because it's a blessing. I didn't take the trash out because I was just excited that I get to take the trash out. But it sure was a blessing that there was somebody going to come by that day and pick up the trash so it wasn't piled up outside my house. Especially when it got all those maggots and all that stinky stuff in there. And yeah, you all know what I'm talking about. Imagine that piled up outside your house all the time. Be like New York City. No, the city itself. We need to learn to put our heart into serving God. You know, as I got older, I understood, okay, I still don't enjoy taking trash out. I don't know anybody in the world says, oh, I get to take the trash out. Now, I do enjoy the fact that it's not sitting in my house or right next to my house, and that's enjoyable. The emotion of, at least it's not going to sit here and smell like that. It can smell like that somewhere else. Okay? That emotion is there. Can I tell you something? God gave us emotions. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, temperance, meekness, appreciativeness. I think that we ought to say please and thank you. I think we ought to appreciate people that do things. I think that God, I often pray and say, God, I hope you have a good day today. How many times have you asked God to give you a good day and you've never asked him to have a good day? You've never asked if you could do something to give him a good day. Number four, we got to hurry. We need to serve the Lord with all our heart. Number three, number four, we need to seek the Lord with all our heart. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Oh, my soul, there's so many verses here. 2 Chronicles 22. We're not going to have a chance to look at all these. 2 Chronicles 22. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him, that's the right verse, buried him, because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still in the kingdom. Notice, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord with all his heart. Jeremiah 29:13 talks about us seeking the Lord with all our heart. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look at verse number 39. John chapter 5, verse number 39. The Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I want you to know something. Search, seek the scriptures. Where do we seek the Lord with all our heart? In the Word of God. Folks, we find him in his word. We find him in his word. I was on staff for Brother Hiles. I was teaching at the college. I was an assistant pastor at the church. I was as busy as could be. And a young man came by my office one day and he said, Brother Bush, I'm asking a bunch of the staff people this question. I said, all right. He was sitting down in my office. He said, if you had to choose between prayer and Bible reading, you could only have one, what would you choose? I said, easy peasy. He said, which would you choose? I said, Bible reading. He said, but wait a minute. Prayer is how you ask God for things and you could keep getting things from God. I said, and prayer can be very selfish. I said, the word of God is God talking to me. Prayer is me talking to God. What God has to say is a whole lot more important than what I have to say to him. Amen. I'm more accountable for what he says to me. He can figure out what I need. He knows my needs before I ever ask him. Exactly. I said, I would 1,000 times to 1 give up prayer over reading my Bible. Yes. He scratched his head, got splinters in his fingers. But he scratched his head. I said, what you scratching your head for? He said, of all the people I've talked to so far, you're the only one to say that. I said, I can't help they're wrong. I said, you asked my opinion. By the way, I haven't changed on the Bible. Some of those rascals did. You ought to read his word every day. Seek the Lord daily in the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Seek the scriptures, for in them think you have eternal life. Can I tell you something? Read your Bible every day. I'm not saying you have to read through your Bible every year. I think it's a good thing for you to do. I really do. But I'd rather you read it every day and not worry about reading through it. Someday, I think you ought to read through your Bible every in a year. Yeah. Someday, that's fine. But just, if nothing else, read a verse a day. Get something from the Word of God every day. I think you ought to be at church and hear it preached and taught. Think you ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Unless you're at work, unless you're barfing your guts out or got the virus, I think you ought to be in church. Say why? Because that's where you're going to learn more on how to read the scriptures, search the scriptures, and understand the scriptures.
Yes.
By the way, I think you ought to teach somebody else the Bible.
Yes.
Isn't that what Matthew 28:19-20 is all about, the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Ooh. It's a matter of teaching someone. Soul winning is teaching somebody else about salvation. Do you know why some of you are insecure about your salvation? Because you've never told somebody else how to go to heaven. Moment you start telling somebody else how they can know for sure you're going to heaven, you're going to watch how excited about being saved you are. You wonder how I can get excited about being saved and somebody getting saved. You see as many people get saved as I have, you'll have a spell too. God is not found where there is no truth or where there is false truth. Now hang on, this is going to turn some tails in a hurry. Somebody using the wrong Bible cannot give you the truth.
Amen.
I'm talking about your radio preachers that sound so suave and debonair.
Amen.
If they're using the wrong Bible, they're an antichrist. They're wicked, they're heretics, and you ought not listen to them. That goes for Chucky Swindoll and James Dobson and Hocus Pocus on the Family and Charles Stanley, who's never used the King James Bible. Say, but they just sound so educated. You can be educated in stupidity too. Look at Nancy Pelosi. Folks, just because they have a suave voice doesn't mean they're spiritual. How can they teach you truth when they don't even have the right Bible? By the way, don't seek God with those rascals.
Amen.
God wants the Bible and seeking him to be done with emotion. I think you ought to read your Bible with emotion. Brother Mike, I had to laugh. You started teaching Sunday school this morning. You saw me pull out a 3x5 card and write something down. Wasn't 5 minutes later, I wrote a sermon outline down, and that rascal took it. Yeah. I even had the title to it called Don't Be a Sucker. You had to be in Sunday school to understand it. I'll preach it one of these days. You'll forget that it was his idea. Now, wait a minute. Fantastic idea. I was writing it down. Then I was back there, and I thought, okay, I got to put that one in the file way back in there, all right? Can I tell you something? Seek the Bible with emotion. You say, preacher, where do you come up with all these things to preach? By reading the Bible.
Amen.
By reading the Bible. I was reading Psalm 86 recently, and this whole sermon came out because I read verse 12. My mind immediately turned in my own brain to all these other scriptures. And I started cross-referencing in my own Bible that morning and saying, man, this I'm excited about this, Lord. Man, my folks could use this. And I start writing things down and look where we're at. Say why? Because I got excited about what God was showing me in the scriptures. The sermon I preached this morning, I was reading my Bible one day and read Deuteronomy 22 again. And read that verse where underneath are his everlasting arms, and I had a spell. So, number four, we're to seek the Lord with all our heart. Number five, God wants us to love him with all our heart. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse number 37. Matthew chapter 22, look at verse number 37. The Bible says this. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. All thy heart, all your emotion. Mark 12:30, Luke chapter 10, verse 27, all three of these places say virtually the same thing that God says, Jesus said, that we are to love him with all our heart. I love my wife with all my heart, but I am to love God with all my heart as well.
Amen.
If you love somebody here on earth with more emotion than you love God, be careful. Be careful. When it's time to spend time with God, does your heart go pitter-patter a little faster? When it's time to talk to Him, does your emotion get involved? Everybody doing okay? We need to love God with all of our emotions. God does not want robots. He made us to love Him. And nobody loves the same way. I will express my love to God differently than Randy will. Randy will express it differently than Evan will. And Evan will express it differently than Jamie will. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You see, God made us with the emotions we have, with the mixture of emotions we have. Let's love Him back with those emotions. God says, I want you to love me with all. By the way, if these emotions are right, these emotions will be right as well. You want to know how to get your emotions under control? Get them right this way. If you get this right, this takes care of itself. When I'm crossed this way, it's because something's not right this way. Did you get that? When you messed up this way, something's messed up that way. Because this is a revelation of what this is. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, we ought to love each other with our emotions. And I must hurry, number six. This is enough to make me want to shout. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 8. Look at verse number 48. 1 Kings 8, verse 48. I love this first statement. And so return unto thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies which led them away captive, and pray unto thee. We're going to stop right there. God wants us to return with all our heart. We could go to 2 Kings 23:25, 2 Chronicles 6:38. God says He wants us to return with all our heart. Let me read a verse to you out of the book of Isaiah. I could quote it to you, but I want to read it to you because it's just so sweet and special right here. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of us are going to wander away from God and choose our own way. When you get to that point where you've been wandering and you're choosing your own way, and you realize, maybe I haven't been doing this the right way. God says, I want you to turn around and return with all your heart. With all your heart. I love Brother Josh. I'm not going to disparage anything, but Brother Josh had a tough spell in his life. Been to college for a little bit and got cross with God and ran from God for a little while. It was pretty rough. Preacher, did you give up? No. But I was sitting in my climber stand. Brother Barnes, you know right where that tree's at. And I got a phone call from him one day. I was bow hunting. I said, hey, bud, what you need? And he kind of hem-hawed for a second. And a preacher kind of has a little sense. He said, that's not really why you called, is it? He said, no, Dad. I said, what you need? He said, I'm tired of running. I'm going to grab my rope and drop my bow. Caught her before it hit the ground. I started coming down the tree while I was talking to him. Tears running down my face. He said, where should we meet? I ran to meet him. Put my arms around him. And I said, who in this country do you want to talk to? I said, I'm your daddy. I could be your pastor, but I'm not going to be. I'll be your daddy now. But you tell me the preacher in America you want to talk to right now. He gave me a name. I pulled my phone out. And I called that preacher. And I said, my son's coming back to God. Would you talk to him? I put him on the phone. And I walked out of the room. I looked at him and I said, not everybody's going to want you back. I said, the way back's pretty hard. Because if the way back was as easy as the way out, more would make it. And the person you're going to have to fight is you. But just know, you return. Give it all you got, son. It's going to be okay. Can I tell you something? Young people, you're going to struggle. Every young person, especially when they grow up in church, hits a spot. I call it the wall. And you struggle for a little while. But when you're done struggling, come back. It'll be okay. Because those who are spiritual will restore you. They won't kick you when you're down. And if you're going to kick somebody when they're down, do me a favor. Bend over and let me kick you. You got no business kicking people that want to come back to God. Why is it that the Christian army is the only ones that when somebody's wounded, we shoot them and kill them? Well, they're no good anymore. Pow! It's not a horse, it's a human. Well, I'm going to put them out of my misery. Well, why don't you do us a favor and pull the trigger on yourself first? And if there's anything left, we'll make sure that we unload it on you. Can I tell you something? If you've been away from God, come back. Come back. Say, well, I've done that before, preacher. Come back again. God's got one more come back than you've got to turn away from. Promise you. There's a story of a young man. I won't take time to expound on it, but during World War II, there's a place called Hacksaw Ridge. Guy was a conscientious objector. He did not carry a weapon. Wanted to be a medic. Went through all kinds of trouble to do it. Hacksaw Ridge is a cliff 300 feet high. They had to climb a rope ladder to get up there. And that we had been pushed off Hacksaw Ridge multiple times. This guy's up on Hacksaw Ridge with no weapon, fighting the Japs. They got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and to where the what was left of our men ran away and ran down that ladder, and he was up top by himself. He said, God, what should I do? And he heard one of our soldiers groaning, crying for help. He said, I know what I can do. The only American up there, able to stand and walk, he started running for the cries. He grabbed one of his men, and drug him over to that hill, patched him up a little bit, had a rope up there. And he lowered that body down 300 feet. Heard another cry. He pulled that rope back up. He went back out. He stayed there all night, pulled 48 soldiers. He kept saying one more time. The very commanding officer that told him over his dead body would he ever be able to serve, he went out and found him, patched him up, and put him over the edge. Took two enemy Japanese soldiers and put them over the edge too. Say why? Because he was using all his heart. He was serving our country with all his heart. He had been wounded, had been shot at. His hands were just a mess from lowering that rope. The last body he took, the Japanese were chasing him, and he grabbed that soldier, threw him over his shoulder, and he jumped off that. He tied the rope around his waist and jumped. Fell about 100-150 feet, and his men crawled up and got him. After he healed up, a couple weeks later, they were getting ready to go into battle. Commanding officers were barking from headquarters, and they said, hang on, we're going, but we're waiting till he's done praying. We don't need time to pray. We got to take that hill. He said, we're taking time to pray, and hung up on the general. He got done praying. He said, "Are you ready?" He said, "Yep." He said, "Let's go." Led the charge. After we're saved, God asks us to do 6 things with all our heart. Trust Him, praise Him, serve Him, seek Him, love Him, and return to Him. How about we use all of our heart, our emotions, to do those things? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I'm not asking you to be an emotional church. I'm not asking you to do things wild and crazy. I'm just asking you to use the emotions God gave you and do those 6 things that He asked us to do as Christians. You don't get saved by your emotions. But bless God, we ought to do some things with our emotions.